All right, are you guys ready to hear the word? All right, let's welcome our pastor, Reed Moore. Give him a big round of applause. Awesome.
All right. How many of you guys almost lost your voice during worship tonight? So good. So good. So we're going to do question and answers part tonight, but I got some more stuff I got to say. You got some more stuff to listen to. And my wife couldn't be here. So, but she'll be here in a couple of weeks. All right. We're talking about relationships tonight. And we're going to kind of take a little bit of a detour. And it's going to wrap all back around. You're going to understand why we're going, where we're going. If you weren't here last week, Christina Leon, who led worship tonight, has been working on our GM Facebook page. And she's been posting things for you guys to respond to and think about. And last week she did like a top 10 things to do and not to do for dating. It was so awesome. How many of you guys saw that on Facebook already? It was really cool. So anyway, where's Christina? Thanks, Christina. You're awesome. Isn't she great? We love Christina. Very cool. All right. If you got yourself a Bible, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun. Joshua, the son of Nun. All right, we're going to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. So there's this guy named Moses. Moses was a kind of an important Bible guy. And Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the desert. Moses got a little temper problem. He smacked a rock. God said, sorry, you're not going to the promised land. But this guy, Joshua, is going to lead God's people into the promised land. Okay? And so Joshua takes God's people across the river. They're fixing on going up into the promised land. And they come to the first place that they have to conquer to take the promised land. And the place was called Jericho. Jericho. And so we're not going to preach on Jericho tonight, but we're going to have to just kind of get through it to get where we're supposed to go. Now, God gave Joshua some specific instructions before he got to Jericho. And those instructions were, listen, I am giving you the land. I'm giving you the whole thing. I'm giving you all the people. I'm giving you all the cities. I'm giving you all the goods. But Jericho's mine. It's the first fruits. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just not take anything for yourself. You got to trust me that I'm going to provide and I'm going to take care of you. So Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 20, the people go and they surround Jericho. And you guys know the story. They run around it seven times. On the next day, they run around seven times. And verse 20, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the people went up to the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. So they did what God wanted them to do. They go in and they take the city and they just destroy everything with the exception of Rahab, who had let spies into the city and they had agreed to save her. So they go in. And they take care of business, and life's good, and everything's good. And then we go to chapter 7, verse 2. All right, so they just had this massive victory in the city of Jericho, and they go to a place called Ai. Say Ai. Now, in your Bible, it will be Ai, but it can be pronounced Ai. Say Ai. Ai. So they come up to this place called Ai. Chapter 7, verse 2. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and they spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua, and they said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not be weary, all the people. Do not weary all the people, for there are few people in Ai. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them back before the gates as far as Sherebim, and they struck down they struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Say, I. Verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of God until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us to the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut us off and cut off your name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the children of Israel go to Jericho on their way into the promised land. And they totally just annihilate Jericho. And they're like, whoa, and they were so just outnumbered, and they were just like stoked about it. And so they come up to this little insignificant town called Ai, and they just get rallied. And these men of Ai just take care of business. And so Joshua does what every good Christian would do, and he tears his clothes. I haven't torn my clothes lately, but, you know. He's like, "Oh God, why? Why is this happening?" He starts, you know, "Why me and why us and all this stuff." And God in verse 10 says, "Shut up." He says, "Shut up. Get up. What are you crying around, whimpering and feeling bad for yourself?" He says, "Don't you know there's sin in the camp? Don't you know there's sin in the camp?" Now, I'm not preaching a sin message. So don't get all like, "Oh, what was you going to say?" But there's another guy here in the story. His name is Achan. And for tonight, we're going to say, "I can." How's that sound? So say it with me. Say, "I can." "I can." So the children of Israel come up to this little insignificant thing called Ai. And there's sin in the camp. And the sin is this man named I Can, who decides that he's going to take from the plunders of Jericho. So all the rest of the people, the nation of Israel, they just destroy everything. But this one guy, he goes and he takes a little silver and he takes a little gold and he takes a little, you know, little cloth for himself, a little silk, and he just kind of stashes it away. And so God says to Joshua, "Hey, why are you just on your face and I don't want you to talk to me. I want you to deal with what's in the camp." Okay, so Joshua gets up and he deals with what's in the camp. And what's in the camp is this guy named I Can. And so Joshua has to deal with this guy. And so what he does to I Can is he completely destroys him and his family and his belongings and his sheep and his donkeys and everything else. Let's pray. Father God, I want you to speak to us tonight from your word. God, there is application in the story for us and for our relationships. And God, I'm asking that your word would open our heart. God, your word would open our mind. We would understand what the principles are today that you want to teach us. God, thank you for the beautiful, awesome time in your presence and worship. Now, God, let it change us and let us turn towards you. Amen. So in marriage is great. Just so you guys know, in case you were wondering, come on, who married people in the house? Come on. Marriage is great. Marriage is kind of like a promised land. Somebody say hallelujah. All the single people said, marriage is kind of like, it's kind of like a promised land. I am happy to be married. I would be a miserable man if I was not married. I love being married to my wife. Just thought that would edify your soul. But you know, there's a sacrifice to have the promised land. And that sacrifice is right now, you can't take of the goods of the city. See, right now, you can't tap into the goods of that promised land because God says, "Listen, that's first fruits. Your life, everything, it's mine. Your sexuality is mine. Your emotions, they're mine. Your heart, your soul, it's mine." It's not time to give those things away yet. And see, so what happens is we start walking through the promised land and we get saved and we're doing pretty good and the Lord's doing great stuff in our life. And then we come to this little insignificant place called I. And we overlook how big of a place I can be. And the problem is with I can. I can is that place where I can get what I need. I can do my own thing. I can provide for myself. I can overcome I with I. Is this making sense to you guys tonight? I can overcome myself by myself. And see, before we start talking about relationship principles, we got to get something straight in our hearts. And that is that I cannot be defeated by I can. You cannot get over yourself and get into a good godly relationship until you get rid of this idea of I can. I have a PowerPoint. It's beautiful. I did it myself. It's going to be up there in a second. Isn't that a great title? I love my titles. The Other Side of I. Somebody say, ooh. There it is. Whoop, there it is. This is what I call the seat of decision. Now, this is not new information for some of you guys, but I want you guys to get this. You are made in three parts. God designed you after his image. God is Father, Son, and the Spirit. And you are made spirit, soul, and body. You are made with this earthly body. You know, the Bible says that this was actually made from dirt, right? Right? This is how God took and he formed Adam from the dirt. And all you ladies, you are not dirt, which is great. I don't know. I just thought that would bless somebody. Oh, well, okay. Yes, it's true. Praise the Lord. All right. So you were brought out of the dirt and you have a body and your body is to help you relate to this earth. I can relate to you right now because I have a physical body, right? And then you were made with a soul. And the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's who you are. When you fall in love with somebody, you don't fall in love with their body bag, their soul bag. If you really fall in love with them, you fall in love with their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions, the essence of who that person is. That's who you fall in love with. Now, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 that there's a war going on for your soul, right? The Bible says in Galatians 5, it says that the flesh and the spirit are at war, right? The spirit wars against the flesh. In other words, the spirit of God wars against your body, wars against your flesh. And the two are contrary to one another. They don't like each other. Your body wants your soul, and your spirit wants your soul. And so at the place of your soul, there's this war. The Bible says that nothing good can come out of your flesh, out of your body. And so what we do sometimes is before we go to get into a relationship, we think I can. And so we just take a little on the way. So you enter into a relationship, and what you do is you start just taking a little bit. Okay, God says, don't touch her like that. Don't talk about that stuff like that. Don't do that. But you say, I can. I really know what I need. And what's happening is your body is what's in control. Does that make sense to you guys? Now, the hard thing about this is your body is, it's your place to bring your will, but it's also the devil's place to bring his will into your life. And it's pretty hard to tell which one's which sometimes, right? It's pretty hard to tell what exactly is going on. But the thing you have to know, as long as I can, as long as it's in the realm of you're being controlled by your physical body, it's not controlled by the Spirit. And we start to get all confused in this area when we're going into dating relationships, because we decide, you know, I need to date. Well, why do you need to date? Well, I just do. Because I know what's best for me. And somewhere, now let me go back to Achan real quick, okay? We read the story of Achan, and he just looks like a greedy guy, right? He just got greedy, and he just took a little gold, he just took a little silver, he just took a little something-something, right? But we don't know that, do we? What if Achan, what if he's about ready to go bankrupt? What if he couldn't feed his kids? Do we know? We don't know. We don't know why he took that stuff, do we? All we know is that he took something he wasn't supposed to, and God punished him for it. And so we roll up into the scene, and some of us, we want to go after the goods that aren't ours because we got bad motives. We want to touch a little something that's not ours. God says, mm-mm, that's not yours. But sometimes we don't have those kind of motives. Sometimes we have hurts and we have wounds and we have brokenness. You know, our dad never told us he loved us. So I roll up to, you know, I roll up to Gabe Webb. and Gabe, you know, he's encouraging and he's loving on me, right? Okay? I don't necessarily have wrong motives, like sinful motives. But I have I can motives. I can find somebody that's going to meet this need that I have. Does that make sense to you guys? We don't know what happened with Achan. All we know is that he did something. And sometimes we do stuff not because we want to go and sin against God, but because what has control of our life are the wounds, the pain, the desires that we have inside of us. Is that making sense to you guys tonight? As long as those things have control over our lives, dating is just totally hopeless. Dating's hopeless. Relationships are hopeless because you can't get what you need for your soul through your body. You cannot get for your soul through your body what you need. There are so many people that have lived rock star lives and on their deathbed said, I just wanted somebody to love me. And they've had sex with 30, 40, 50 people. Sometimes guys and girls. And they just want somebody to love them. Well, because through your body, you were never meant to have fulfillment in relationships. God and his relationship by way of his Spirit that he put inside of you is what a relationship should look like between you and a lady or you and a guy. When we were worshiping tonight, I was getting caught up. And the reason I was getting caught up is because God had a contact point into my soul. His Spirit inside of me was filling me, and my soul was being changed. And what happens when your soul is changed, then you do things that are right. Not because you're trying, but because now something else is the influencer of your will. You go inside this area down here of your soul. It's made up of your mind, will, and your emotions. Now, this is really important. I gotta find where I'm at. I got all over the place. Your mind is God's control point. Reed read the scripture earlier, Romans 12:1. I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but by the renewing of your mind, do what's acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. God's desire is to renew your mind. When we're talking about who you are and we're talking about what God has control over, his desire is through his word to change your mind. Because what happens is the enemy comes down through this other side. He comes down through your body, and when he's coming down through your body, he's touching your emotions. And he's plucking those things that hurt. He's plucking those things that are not whole. And so now your emotions drive your will. You do what you feel is right. You do what you feel is good. Does that make sense? God goes about something a totally different way. He comes down the other side, and by way of his spirit, he now is the influencer of your soul. Over your will. Your will is what you do and who you are. When I choose to do something, I have activated my will. Now, why did I choose to do that? Well, I chose to do what I do because I'm being influenced somehow internally. Right? When I decide to look at a girl who's not my wife and then look again, it's not the Spirit of God controlling my mind and directing my will. It's my flesh touching my emotions, saying, ooh, that feels good. And then I do something that starts to destroy my marriage. Does that make sense? And so this happens all the time in our lives. And so you want to date somebody. How many of you guys here who are not yet dating want to date at some point in your life? I don't know. Is it your question? You got to have the right influencers in your life before you start going into the dating world. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find in your body and in your emotions something that pleases your will. And you're just never going to find satisfaction in that. And this thing, this doesn't work the other direction. You can't, through your emotions and your body, edify your spirit. Your soul will die. And it's so important, if you're going to start dating somebody, that to the best of your ability, to the best of the grace of God that's in your life, that you're a whole person. That you are striving to be influenced by the Spirit of God. If you're not, you're going to distract yourself from ever being influenced by the Spirit of God. So, I love this. This is good stuff. Okay, the reason we're talking about this stuff is if you want to enter into the promised land of marriage, you got to go through I, and you have to kill I can. If you still think that you can get what you need for your soul, yourself, you're always going to sell yourself short. You're always going to fall short of intimacy with God and true intimacy with somebody you're going to marry. It's just so important. Okay, this is 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is what it says. This is the will of God for your life. I've been reading a book. And it's a book about our generation. They call our generation the Busters and the Mosaics. Whatever that means. And it says that our generation of Christians are more offended at the F word being used in a movie than they are at themselves committing sexual immorality. This was like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of studying. Basically, for I'm going to use Alex as an example because he's a great guy. Alex would be way more offended if I dropped the F-bomb on him than he would by looking at pornography. Okay? It's just kind of messed up, isn't it? And we've gotten this idea that certain things are just okay. Like I can slip up in this area sexually. No, you can't. That can't be a part of your heart. That can't be a part of who you are. If it's an option right now, stop. You can't be dating somebody. You can't be going down that road. If that is an option in your heart right now, man, that's a scary thing. But for us to say oops as a generation in this area is kind of somehow acceptable. listen, there is a lot at stake with your purity. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God. If you guys want to know what the will of God is, if you've been searching for the answer all your life, get ready. Your sanctification. It means you being set apart from the world. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one should take advantage or defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has given us the Holy Spirit. God gave you the influencer. He set you up to succeed. This is what it says. Everyone should flee sexual immorality and know how to possess his own vessel. That means you have to know how to keep you pure. You have to know how to keep you pure. And, you know, when we're talking with young people, the word maturity is kind of one of those words like, you know, somebody says maturity, you're like, that mature, you know? But Gabe talked earlier about humility. Now, listen, if somebody gave me $1 million right now, it would not derail my relationship with God. It just wouldn't. I have a maturity in myself to be able to handle that. If somebody gave me $10 million, I don't know if I could handle it. I'm just being honest with you. My maturity level, I don't know that I could have $10 million in the bank and not lose sight of the important things in my life. Right? Now listen, if you're not mature enough to date, don't be false. Just don't pretend you're mature. Be humble. Okay, first of all, if you're young, you need to understand something. You got a long way to go. There's a good chance you shouldn't be dating at all. Okay? I'm just saying. All right? If we're talking about wisdom, we have to know these things. If you are... Okay. I'm getting off track. I get all passionate about this stuff. Okay. You guys... So you're looking to date somebody. All right? First of all, if this isn't figured out, you just shouldn't be dating. Okay? If you don't got this figured out, you're going to be sleeping with somebody else's wife. Well, I'm not sleeping with a married lady. If she's not going to be your wife, she's going to be somebody else's wife. Mm-mm. Don't be touching that. Right? But the Lord brought us together. She will be my wife. Shut up. You don't know that. It's not your wedding night. Don't be stupid. That's not maturity. That's ignorance. All right? Don't be ignorant. All right? It's not your wife. Don't be touching her like that. Don't be doing that. It's not your wife. That's called adultery. If any of you slept with my wife, I'd shoot you in the head. Don't be sleeping with somebody else's wife. I'd go to jail, and I'd just be okay. I'd be like, Jesus, sorry. But, you know, come on. Right? It's a little bit carnal, but I think you understand. Yeah, that was the G-rated version. Okay, so you get this stuff figured out. You think, okay, this Holy Spirit in my life has a pretty good hold. I'm a whole person. If I don't date anybody, I'm not going to fall off the face of the earth. It can be, you know, I can be a bachelor to the rapture. I'm good. Jesus and me, we're good. He's got control of my life. He's got control of my emotions. He's got control of my mind. As far as I know, I'm good. Okay, so then what do? You're like, hey, baby, you know. You go up to girl and be like, girl, you as cute as you are hefty. Name's Moto Moto. It's so nice, you say it twice. I love it. Anyway, if you didn't get that, don't worry about it. All right. You can't be soul bag shopping. All right? You got to be soul shopping, okay? Now, the first thing that you're looking for in somebody is you're looking for their character. Okay? Man, you can't be finding somebody who looks like somebody you might be able to marry. That doesn't mean anything. What does it mean that she looks like somebody you can marry? What? Does that really mean anything? Proverbs 31:30 says this. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Those muscles on that guy, they're going to sag. Unless you're Randy Weeks, they're going to sag quick. All right? Are you going to marry somebody because of their soul bag or because of their soul? All right. So you start looking around, you see somebody, and you know, you look at them and they don't sear your eyes. You're not like, ah, you know, I can't look at you, so I can't marry you. All right. Obviously, you have to be attracted to somebody. Duh. Okay. That'd be stupid. Okay. But you have to look beyond that. And here's how you don't look beyond that. You don't start dating that person. That's the stupidest thing you could do. As soon as you start, hey, baby, you fine? You want to go out? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go out. You're totally blind. You have no idea what that person's character is like because you're just like, ah, right? As soon as you start dating somebody, you are blind to their character. So if you want to start dating somebody for the purpose of marriage, which is the only purpose to date somebody, then you need to get to know that person first. Rebecca and I, we were best friends for like close to a year. And we were just totally oblivious to anything other than our friendship. And our friendship became so valuable to us that it grew into something more. Listen, when you're so old that all the intimacy stuff is like not such a big deal anymore, when you're not just raging hormones anymore, you got to live with that person. And I'd rather live with my best friend than live with somebody that I thought was pretty 20 years ago, but it's not working for me anymore. All right? So the first thing you do is if you want to date somebody, you don't date that person. You get to know them. You say, hey, let's go hang out with this group of friends over here and let's get to know each other. And you watch that person. You want to see, hey, this person might totally, Rebecca might just love Jesus like way more than you. But she wants to be a missionary and you want to work downtown. Hello? Probably not going to be the best idea. You shouldn't find that out once you're emotionally attached to that person. You should find that out when you're friends with that person. Because you become friends with that person, and you start to just really love that person. And that person's not meant to be your wife. You can still love that person as a friend. You haven't crossed any boundaries. All right, so the first thing is if you want to date somebody, you got to commit yourself to not dating that person until you know this is a person that I could potentially marry. Make sense? Okay, so questions. Is the person going the same direction that I am? Does that person value the same things that I value? That's important. If you're going to date another, even another Christian, do you value the same things that that person values? That person's kind of a free spirit. They like to do whatever. You know, they're just like kind of all over the map and, you know, they're a vegan and they're just whatever. And you like steak? Hello. You know, I mean, you just got some issues. You know, does that person want to save the environment and you're like, I don't even recycle, you know? I mean, you might just have some issues, okay? You want to go save the world and that person's like, I just want to be a Christian. Okay, you got to think about these things before you get too attracted to them. All right, so yeah, okay. So the first thing you're doing is you're looking for character. Second thing you're doing is you have to understand the season of life that you're in. If you're a junior higher, unless you're fixing on getting married when you're 15 or 16, you probably shouldn't be dating. Because as soon as you start dating, you plant a seed. And Pastor Josh in a few months is to come and teach on seeds and trees, so I'll just touch on it. If you start getting emotionally involved with somebody when you're 13, 14, 15 years old, man, you got to stay sexually pure for like 3 years, 4 years. I don't know about you guys, but that's a long time. That's tough. If you were a friend of that person and you got to know their soul so well for those 3 years and you weren't distracted by you know, your physical relationship, you guys could do really well as a married couple. you'd probably set yourself up to succeed better if you just discipline yourself to be a friend. Right? Does that make sense? Last thing is wisdom. The wisdom of others. Proverbs 11:14 says this, "Where there is no counsel, the people fail, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Proverbs 24:6, "For by wise counsel, you will wage war on your own. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Christina and the band, you guys want to come back up for me? That'd be awesome. Joel Stockstill preached a message. I don't remember which one it was, but he just said, you know, there's this thing in our culture, especially like, you know, with romantic movies, it's us against the world. Yeah, you and me, baby. We're just going to do this thing. Our parents don't like it, and our friends don't like it. That is foolishness. Man, if your friends aren't cool with your relationship, your pastor isn't cool with your relationship, and your parents aren't cool with your relationship ain't cool. It's not going anywhere. What, you're going to run away with that person? Then what? Then what? You know, the movie ends right after they run away together. What about the rest of their life? Well, if they do a sequel, they're the divorced couple. Right? It's not you against the world. Don't buy into that lie. If the multitude of counselors in your life look at your relationship and say, that's kind of sketchy. I think that's kind of your body controlling your soul. You need to have the humility to say, you know what? I think we need to back off. I think we need to be friends for a while. If you won't listen to wisdom, you're looking at a train wreck in your life. And listen, there's a lot at stake in this area of relationships and purity. You know, other sins, you know, if I lie to somebody, if it's a white lie, you know, it's a little lie, it's going to affect somebody. And that's sin. If I do just a big lie, I might really hurt somebody. But man, you screw up in this area, you can destroy kids and families and churches. Man, if I screwed up in this area, it would affect all of you. If I screwed up sexually, if I had an affair, it would mess up all y'all. Right? You guys got to think about this stuff. When you're dating somebody, man, if that person is not who Jesus has put you together with, you need to get out of that. I don't care if I break some of you up tonight. Some of y'all need to be broken up tonight. Praise God. Your friends are like, dude, you guys are bad news. And you know you're bad news. And you know that person's just holding you down, holding you back. Well, what do you want? Are you just going to let that person hold you back the rest of your life? Man, you guys got to think about this stuff. Relationships, it's so, so important. I got an analogy over here. I like analogies. You guys like analogies? When you start on this journey of relationships and you're a whole person, there's lots of potential. You got some rocks in life, you got some bumps along the road, but you still have all the potential. And so your soul starts getting influenced by your body. You start taking the promised land, and you see I, and you think, I can fulfill that need that I have in my life with this other person. And out comes some of your potential. And you find out, okay, that's not a very good idea. That person hurt me. I hurt that person. So you're okay. Still got some potential there. You come up to the next person. You're a little bit older now. You think you're a little more mature. Besides, she's so fine.
She's hefty.
And you let out a little bit more of what God put in you for one person. And go down the road a little bit more. Before you know it, it's all gone. And now you're looking to get married. So much potential. Gone. There's lots at stake. Your kids are at stake. Your soul's at stake. Don't worry about the carpet. It's not going to stain it. Does this make sense to you guys? As long as you're stuck with I can and you're trying to get this stuff for yourself, what you're doing is you're releasing your potential to have an awesome marriage and an awesome family. Little by little, it just slips away. It is God's will for you to be sanctified. And he says, don't act like those people who don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. You have that influencer in your life. Here's what I want to do. You know, God can recharge one of these. Some of you guys have dripped out potential in your life with another person, with pornography, something. And you just know that if you are honest with yourself tonight, you're not a whole person. You know that the relationships you've had in the past have been to make you happy, to feed some need that if you're really honest with yourself, God should have been feeding. Maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you're having a hard time. You can't even get into a relationship because you love the Lord so much and you know that you got brokenness and you can't engage in somebody else's life in a really meaningful relationship because you know there's too much junk floating around in your life. And so you're not out dating everybody, but you feel like, I just can't date anybody because of what's going on inside of me. Well, listen, God can heal that. God wants to heal that. And he wants to do a work in us tonight as a ministry. I look out here and I see 100 men and women that are going to have healthy relationships and healthy, godly families. God has all the restoration power to destroy the past that sucks so much of your potential away. And I believe tonight, he wants to heal that. Man, these songs that we sung just totally set us up for this. We got to connect with the Father. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to take control so that he is the influencer in our life. It's the only way any of this happens. You guys stand up with me? Now listen, you're gonna, if you come down to this altar call, nobody's going to know whether you've been fornicating, whether you're broken, whether you just want some more of Jesus, whatever. But listen, I don't want you to sit in your seat as a broken person. We don't come here tonight just to listen to my outstanding message. God knows better, and so do you. Okay? We come here because he is the wellspring of life. He is the one that heals the broken. He is the one that restores our soul. Amen? Tonight, I want to invite you down. If you have messed up or you are scared of messing up, fear is as bad as anything. You've messed up. You're afraid of messing up. You want God to bless your relationships in the future. You want to do this thing right. I want you to just come right now. Come out of your seats. Come down front. Don't be shy. Nobody's here judging you. We got some married couples in the house. John and Janet Beyer are in the back. I would love if they would come up and minister with us. If they're still here. We want to pray over you. We want to pray God's best, God's blessing over you. If there's something that happened to you or you did to somebody in your past, tonight with your mouth, confess it. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, there's more of you. You have a memory that's haunting you. Maybe it's an image. Maybe it's something. And you know it's affecting you now. Just come forward. God's wanting to heal us tonight. It's going to be good. Awesome. Praise God. All right, Christina, you want to take us into one of, how about the song that you wrote? That would be good. I want to pray for us right as we get into this song. And then I want to start praying for people specifically. If you're in this place tonight and you feel like you're kind of whole in this area, like you're kind of healthy, I want you to come start praying for people, all right? If you have a word for somebody, just come find me or Gabriel or somebody. Just say, hey, this is what I have. And then you can give that word to that person and just be a blessing. So let's minister tonight. Let's love on our family. We want healthy, prosperous futures. Father, tonight, every young man and every young woman in this house, I declare purity and wholeness over their relationships from this point out in Jesus' name. God, tonight I'm praying that you would convict people in this room. If they're in a relationship that is destroying their soul, I'm asking God that you give them courage, you give them strength in Jesus' name. Father, in this place, the relationships that are a good example, I'm asking that you would prosper them and protect them in Jesus' name. God, I'm praying right now for every young man and every young woman under the sound of my voice that you would destroy the works of the enemy. The things that enemy decided were to destroy you, God says he will now turn it for the good. He will heal those things if you'll confess. So God, tonight I'm asking that you would be Jehovah Rapha. You would be the God who heals. God, all brokenness, all past, all images in the mind, all of that, God, a thing of the past, done, healed, forgiven, released in Jesus' name. God, I'm praying for young ladies specifically in this place that haven't been able to feel because of this issue. Their hearts become hard. God, right now I'm asking you to soften the heart. God, and you would bring rightness, wholeness to the heart in Jesus' name. God, tonight as we worship you, we're praying that we would connect with that perfect love, God, and you would show us how to love in return. Spirit of God, come tonight. Move among us as we worship. Let's worship and pray.